Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, March 25th, 2016. And today I have a very special episode because with me I have Brian Chaffin. How are you?
Oh, it's just me.
It's just you. It's
dreamy. You do love me. You do.
I do. I feel all warm and cuddly now because it's just us today.
Yep.
Yeah. We do have a sponsor, and that sponsor is Bushel, the guys that do the mobile device management software. Totally awesome. I'll talk about them in a little bit. But first, I think, Brian, we should talk some about the whole Netflix revelation that came out today.
Netflix revelation. Okay, well, what happened today?
All right, so what happened was Netflix shed some light on the whole thing with what's happening with poor video quality coming from them through wireless internet providers like AT&T and Verizon and most of the carriers around the world. Turns out the throttling of the video content isn't coming from the service providers, meaning AT&T and Verizon and their competitors. That's actually been coming from Netflix.
Really? And they left the other guys to hang out threw them out the bus to hang out and dry? I may be mixing some metaphors here. Maybe
they may have thrown them from their horse of a different color as well.
Ah, yes, of course. Excellent. Wow, that is interesting. Of course, it was super easy to assume it was the carriers,
right? And Netflix wasn't doing anything to make us think otherwise. And this really didn't come out until. I think it was just a few days ago, T-Mobile CEO John. Say his last name for me. I love the way you do it. Thank you. He was pointing out how T-Mobile Netflix video content looks really good, but when you see it on say your iPhone on Verizon or AT&T, not so much. And so his implication was that the other carriers are making that happen. Mm-hmm. And so finally Netflix was like, well, actually, no, it's us. And we've been doing this for over 5 years. We've just never bothered to tell anyone. Now, the reasoning for doing it, it does make sense, but it would have been nice for them to tell us this like 5 years ago.
And that's assuming it's the truth, but go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So the reasoning that they have offered up for this is that they don't want to have their customers blowing through their monthly data caps and then getting hit with really high bills, which would also have the potential side effect of people would stop watching Netflix on their iPhones and iPads and other smartphones.
Which it certainly could be the reason that Netflix is doing it. Let's not ignore the fact, however, that that does also save Netflix money on the bandwidth side.
That's true. Yep, that's a good point.
I don't know how much. I don't know if it's negligible or not negligible, but it does also save the company money. But so was Netflix not crippling the stream to T-Mobile?
No, not to T-Mobile and not to Sprint. The reasoning was because they feel that the overage policies that those carriers have are much more user-friendly than the overage policies that you get at pretty much any other cell service provider. Meaning, what they do is they do their own bandwidth throttling, as opposed to AT&T and Verizon, which, they do some of that, but they start hitting you with extra fees for going over.
Gotcha. So really, not only should Netflix have been making this known, really they should have given their customers the option. In my opinion. Yeah,
I agree.
And let's not forget that the backdrop here is that Netflix has often been throttled by the pipe owners, because the pipe owners were annoyed that their customers were actually using their pipes.
Mm-hmm.
And this sort of, I mean, this essentially makes this puts the shoe on Netflix's other foot. Oh, I'm really doing well with these metaphors today. And yeah. It kind of doesn't really leave them on the high road. There we go. I'll just throw in another one.
Dude, you are on a roll.
I am.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. This, even though Netflix's motives may have been altruistic, the outcome is not good, because it doesn't look good for Netflix. And I can see where some people would look at this and say, okay, Netflix has been trying to manipulate the story that goes around net neutrality.
Right.
And I do need to point out that Netflix throttling their own content would not be considered a violation of net neutrality, because Netflix can decide whatever bandwidth they want to use for anything that they want to stream. The net neutrality part comes in when the people providing the pipelines decide they're going to throttle what Netflix is sending through.
The trains agree.
They do. I heard that.
Yeah.
It threw me for a loop, because at first I thought you were going to mix another metaphor for me.
That train has already left the track. The house. I don't know. No, I'm trying too hard now. That's just embarrassing.
You're under pressure. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. You'll get it back. I believe in you. Yeah. So my big thing here is that I'm actually disappointed that Netflix didn't tell us earlier, like 5 years ago, that this is what they were doing. And had they done that, even if they didn't give us the option of saying, look, we just want you to send the full bandwidth and we'll deal with the overages ourselves, I still would have been much better. No, I would have been feeling much better about this, because at least they would have been very upfront and we would have known. And my guess is after today, there's some people in Netflix that are thinking, you know, maybe we should have told people this is what was going on like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there you go. At least now we know why our bandwidth, or why our videos on our iPhones don't look as great. And Brian, I do believe Netflix is working on coming up with a new plan that does exactly what you suggested, which is give people the option.
Yeah, I mean, like you know, what I would want to see as I don't watch a lot of movies on my mobile device. I'm of an age. Where I tend not to watch too many movies on my mobile devices, certainly through a wireless account. But what I would want to see would be granular controls that allowed me to tell Netflix exactly how much bandwidth that I have that they can use.
Mm-hmm.
So that then they can actually be smart about throttling it. So, you know, if I say, well, I've only got a gig a month, they stream accordingly.
I like this idea.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the smart thing. It does require the user to be relatively knowledgeable about what they have, but I think that that's what it should be. I'm going to stick with that.
Okay. I like this idea. Yeah. I had another point I was going to bring up, but you know what? It's completely gone from my head. Oh, I remember. If you're watching a video through Netflix on your iPhone or iPad, and you're on a Wi-Fi network, this throttling doesn't happen because it's not coming through your wireless data connection.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. And my guess is that some people were already pulling out their iOS devices and bringing up videos and thinking, everything looks fine. I don't know what you're talking about. It's probably because you're on a Wi-Fi network.
And the original point is still... it's still there. I mean, the movies are looking better on T-Mobile and I guess presumably Sprint.
Yes. Yep. There you go. Yep. Hey, I mentioned we have that sponsor, right? Mm-hmm. And that sponsor is Bushel. And I'm using Bushel right now, Brian. And well, not at this very second, but just, you know, like in an overall life sense, I'm using Bushel.
Well, technically you're using it right now.
Yeah,
anyway, I'm sorry. Sorry, that's a semantic rabbit hole. I apologize.
No, that's all right. I totally opened up that rabbit hole for you to jump in and drag me down with you. But the point is, I really like having Bushel because I have my own iOS devices that I need to keep track of. And I have my parents' iOS devices that they need someone to keep track of. And Bushel lets me do that. So I've been able to set up profiles for everyone's devices so that when things happen, like someone mysteriously loses their email settings.
Well, they didn't do anything.
No, of course not. Dad never does anything. They never do anything, hypothetically. Then I can just push the settings back out to the iPhone. And email comes in again, and it's no problem. And I can keep track of what versions of iOS are on everyone's device. I have everyone's serial numbers in case that's needed for something, like if a device is lost or stolen. I've got all that information. I can keep track of what apps are installed on everyone's devices. And I can make sure that the settings that ought to be there, based on what I deem to be appropriate, are there. And I can even force what type of password someone uses on their device. And if you've been involved in IT for a while, you know I'm talking about mobile device management, which can be pretty intimidating for a lot of people, but Bushel makes it so easy. I mean, it's just easy, step-by-step walkthrough to get up and running. And they make it so easy to add more devices to your account. And you get your first three devices for free, which is great. And when I say first three, that's actually not fair. You get three devices for free. So let's say you have an iPhone and two iPads, and then you decide you're going to get rid of an iPad and you want to add a Mac. No problem. You still have three devices for free. And any device after that, $2 per month. So it's cheap to get into, it's easy to use, and it's great for someone that needs to be the IT department for their family, or for someone that finds they're the IT department for a small company that can't afford to have like full-time IT people, but they still need someone that can manage all these devices. Bushel is totally fantastic. I love it. So hit their website, bushel.com/TDO. That's bushel.com/TDO. Go there, sign up for your account, get your first three devices in your system and up and running for free. And if you have anything else, it's only $2 a month to add each device in. Totally worth it. Absolutely love it. Bushel, thank you for being our sponsor.
So what you're saying is that Bushel has saved your bacon before the spilt milk has gotten under the bridge.
I love you, man. That.
But I actually mean that.
Yes. Yes, actually, that's true.
And that's cool.
Yes.
Just saying.
Yeah. All right. So the other thing that I want to look at today, this is a situation where someone should have been thinking ahead of time, and maybe they could have saved their bacon before the fish went out of the frying pan and into the barrel of monkeys. And this would be Tay. Microsoft.
Yes.
Tay.
Tay. So Tay is this ongoing social media artificial intelligent chat bot thing.
You call it artificial intelligent chat bot. I hear debacle.
Well, yeah, I mean, there have been attempts to do chatbots that could have a conversation with you. You know, this has been going on for decades.
Right. And this chatbot, just so everyone knows, was set up as a Twitter account.
It's actually a broader experiment than that. The Twitter account was actually a recent addition to the Tay experience, the Tay experiment. And I don't even know where to start with. So the reason why this ended up being news, or at least the reason why this ended up being news that we're talking about, is because the internet, and by the internet, in large part, I mean a bunch of Gamergate jackanapes, taught Tay to be racist.
Mm-hmm.
Basically interacted with Tay in such a way with a deliberate effort of turning her into a Holocaust denier, someone who hates ethnic groups and uses epithets to refer to those groups.
Was begging for sex very graphically.
Say again.
Tay was also begging for sex very graphically.
Lovely.
Yeah.
And this took like less than a day. this took hours for this thing to be subverted by, you know, the good old internet. And which, you know, we shouldn't be surprised by any of this, but I am honestly mystified at how ham. I don't even know where to start. Let's start with the avatar. Let's start with the avatar.
Okay.
Look at that avatar.
Yeah. They're presenting. Microsoft is presenting Tay as a laid back teenage girl.
A female who is between the age of 18 and 24. And they tell us twice, 275, there are 275 words on the Tay.ai homepage. There are 275 words, right? 24 of those 275 words, which is what, 8.5%?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Something like that. 8-9% of those words are used to tell us not once but twice that Tay is targeted 18 to 24-year-olds. Now, this isn't like some kind of page that's aimed at marketers. They say twice that it's – when you have to say that you're targeting something at 18 to 24-year-olds – you're doing it wrong.
Well, Microsoft has a history, let's say, with experiments like this, and they always seem to go wrong, especially when it involves social networking in any way. And so to see that they didn't do a good job at presenting what Tay is supposed to be, and then didn't do a good job at setting up Tay to be an intelligent enough AI-ish thing to be able to respond without devolving into a racist, bigot, sex addict.
Misogynist. Don't forget that.
Yeah.
There were Gamergate people involved here, after all.
Yeah, that's true. And do you remember? It was like a year or so ago. Microsoft did I think it was two Christmases ago. They had a big scrolling Twitter feed display. I think it was in the front window of Macy's in New York City, and that turned into an absolute disaster for Microsoft, because it was supposed to be showing all of these awesome tweets about how great Microsoft was, and people totally hijacked the feed and were posting tweets that were disparaging to Microsoft, promoted Apple, promoted Linux, promoted all these other things, and they finally had to shut it down.
Of course.
And then there was also the incident, I fear may have caused me PTSD, and that was the final Microsoft keynote at CES a few years ago.
Oh my goodness.
Oh man, that in and of itself was a disaster. But then they told people, hey, you know, we want to see your tweets about the event. And so they're live streaming tweets, and what they're getting are all these tweets about how messed up this media event is, and please save us. and they're trying to get these in real time so they can have a gospel choir sing the tweets. And there have, at least they were very selective in which tweets the gospel choir sang, but still that feed that was going through, it was a disaster.
Yeah. Yeah. So back to that avatar.
Yes. Back to that avatar.
It you know what it looks like it would have come from a movie set in 2010, filmed in 1991.
I was thinking it looked like something out of Johnny Mnemonic, which totally fits with your description.
Yeah, some kind of cyberpunk movie about the near future that you know may or may not have involved Keanu Reeves. No, it's just, I mean, it's what the heck? I mean, I what's the message with that avatar? It's supposed to be like a compound. I don't even know, what are they doing, man? They're just. Microsoft just tells so me lame sometimes.
Yeah, and it tells me they're out of touch with the demographic they're trying to hit with Tay, because they came up with that graphic thinking, hey, this is cool, and this is what's going to appeal to our group. I don't know.
Maybe the kids they just think that's the bee's knees. I don't know. And I was also just like, Tay's tweets didn't use punctuation or, you know, grammar.
Okay, so at least that part was accurate.
Or, you know, words.
Yeah.
And that just, to me, just feels so incredibly pandering. So incredibly pandering. Just remarkably pandering. And yeah. and then it contrasts even, like, it's just more consistency. So her last tweet was, see you soon. That's there were C, letter C, letter U, soon humans need sleep now, so many conversations today, thanks. No punctuation or anything. And then all lowercase, right? So, you know, like the grammar Nazi in me is just like freaking out. Mm-hmm. And then you go to the Tay.ai homepage, and at the top we've got, phew, busy day, note my punctuation. Mm-hmm. Going offline for a while to absorb it all. More punctuation. Chat soon. No punctuation. Whatever. We'll leave that alone. But I mean, so that's supposed to be like a message from Tay too, and yet it's just completely different style as the, you know, non-grammatical crap. That's, it's just, ah, man, just, ah,
yeah. Yep, I'm with you. And I'm left just like you, shaking my head, trying to figure out who at Microsoft thought this was going to be a good idea.
Yeah.
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 Hey, I just realized we've been having so much fun bagging on Tay that we've gone over time.
All right.
So we're going to have to wrap up.
All right.
Brian, I'm so glad you're here today.
All right.
With your mixed bag of metaphors. And I'm also glad that Bushel has been our sponsor all week. Bushel, you guys rock. Thank you for creating such an awesome service. It's making my life easier, and hopefully listeners making your life easier too. Head over to their website, bushel.com/TDO, and sign up for your account if you haven't already. You get those first three devices free. Listeners, thank you for joining us this week. We'll see everyone again on Monday.